Blood Family by Graham Hampton and read by Julie Maisie for Saga Egmont. Prologue. There was blood on the floor. Lots of blood. She tried to look away, focus on something else, anything else, but all she could see was the blood. It pooled on the floor and ran in rivulets along the gaps between the tiles, turning the grouting red. He was dead, and nothing would change that. They should call the police. They would be in trouble, but at least it would be over with. She closed her eyes, hoping the scene would have disappeared when she opened them. Except it hadn't. It was still there. Red. So much red. Chapter 1. A cool breeze blew along the street. It ruffled the leaves on the trees that lined the road and caused an empty crisp packet to scud across the pavement and slap against the side of a wheelie bin. Detective Inspector Matthew Denning sighed as he surveyed the dismal scene. It was too early in the morning to be dealing with this kind of thing, he thought. A coffee and a Danish, then ease yourself into the day. That was his preferred start to a morning. Today, however, fate had decided to deal him a different hand. Gibney Road was a typical London street in the northeast corner of Islington, just before it runs into Hackney. A long row of Victorian terraces ran down one side, while solid red-bricked villas dominated the other. There was nothing remarkable about the street, except for the blue and white police tape that flapped across the frontage of number 42. The house was one of the large villas on the south side of the street, many of which, Denning guessed, had been divided into flats. Number 42, however, was a house, or rather, what was left of one. A couple of LFB fire appliances took up most of the available space in front of the house, and beyond them, a solitary squad car sat half on the pavement and half on the road, its blue light still strobing. Within the outer cordon, fire officers could be seen bustling around the appliances or entering and leaving the property. A long, thick hose snaked across the garden, disappearing into the dark void beyond the gap where the front door used to be. He showed his ID to the young constable standing sentry next to the outer cordon. "Morning, sir." The officer glanced at Denning's ID and pointed to a white-clad socko standing near one of the fire appliances. Denning nodded his thanks and headed over to join the group of forensic officers waiting beside the taped-off inner cordon. Seeing him approach, one of the Sokos smiled and raised her hand in acknowledgement. "D.I. Denning, what brings a nice boy like you to a gory show like this?" Sheila Gorton was the crime scene manager. She spoke with a faint trace of a Canadian accent and smiled a lot when she spoke. They had worked together before. He admired her professionalism and efficiency, while she seemed to like the fact he was young, bright, and going places, or so someone back at the Nick had told him. Denning was with East London MIT, one of the Met's 18 major investigation teams. They formed part of Homicide and Serious Crime Command, and as such, they didn't usually bother themselves with anything as mundane as a house fire, unless there was something suspicious to prod their interest. This, apparently, was suspicious. "We got a call from the brigade. Seems they have some concerns about the fire's cause." He kept his voice cool, professional. "As there are suspected fatalities, it falls within the remit of MIT. Denning had got into the office early that morning, intending to catch up with paperwork and prepare a fellow detective for an upcoming promotion, when one of the uniformed officers attending the scene had called it in, stressing the presence of casualties. He'd informed his DCI of the situation and put in a formal request for a forensic team to get there ASAP. And here they all were, standing around like extras on a film set, waiting for their cue. "Nothing's been confirmed as yet," Gorton said. "We only got here ourselves a few minutes ago. But from what I've managed to overhear, the speed at which the fire spread certainly seems to suggest the possibility of arson. Next to where they were standing, a team were either climbing into their plastic coveralls or already..."